Someone asked her, "Do you have any?" With a bright twinkle in her eye, she answered, "Not yet." Not yet. Not ever, if you were 95, probably. When we light the Advent candles, we're on the third candle. That means Christmas is coming. It's almost here. It seems like it was just, 4 weeks ago. Now it's only 10 days away. And it keeps getting closer and closer and closer. As the third candle is always, we light the pink candle. And this is, the pink candle is usually the candle of joy. But it's also, in a different way, since some traditions, the candles are not connected to an individual emotion like joy, love, peace. But the pink candle is also connected to Mary. That this is the day that we remember what Mary went through and did as the mother of Jesus and how that affected her and affected the people around her. And that's the idea of being a mother in Mary's mind is not just simply a, wow, I get to be God's mom. Isn't this great? We stop and think about all the things that would have gone through her mind as she is this young girl, a teenager, all of a sudden confronted with a whole different life than she probably envisioned. So in Luke chapter 1, verse 31 and 33 is a beginning of this story as we just remind ourselves of what happened to Mary, but also what that would have produced in her. In Luke chapter 1, verse 31, it says, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great. And he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Now, this is said by an angel. Didn't read that part, but we know that part. You've heard the Christmas story many, many times. So here's this young girl. She's sitting there. And the angel appears and says, "Guess what? You're going to have a son. You're going to have a baby, and this baby will be from God." Isn't that good news? "Yes, it's great news," Mary says, "but I got some questions. I got some issues." And this is when we think about doing God's will in our life, we think about being obedient to God. Sometimes God asks us to do some things or do something, and that it will have a good result. We can see that. But at the same time, we stop and ask ourselves, "Well, yeah, God, I get it, but do you realize it's going to cause some problems for me? There's going to be some things going on that I'm going to have to deal with." And God says, "Hey, it's good news though, right?" That's the way a lot of times it is with us when we hear things from God. Now, I've talked a couple of times about, in the past, about God's will for our life. And there's two kinds of God's will. One is the idea that God tells us there's a lot of things that you're not supposed to do. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not steal. Commit adultery. Those kinds of things. That's God's will for you. You're not supposed to do those things. But we also use the phrase God's will because sometimes things happen to us that are totally out of our control. But we accept it as something that God has brought into our life. God shows up to Mary and says, "Guess what? You're going to be pregnant." He doesn't say, "Mary, let me talk to you a few minutes. Let me, give you my plan here, and then we'll talk and we'll negotiate a little bit, and then we'll decide whether or not you want to do this or not." That's not what happens. God just shows up and says, this is it. An unplanned pregnancy. I was going to have everybody, anybody that happened to you have an unplanned pregnancy. No, but I won't do that. Don't do that. But it has happened. And most of you know somebody, if not to yourself, somebody else who it has happened to. But other unplanned things. Nobody plans to have cancer. Nobody plans to have their spouse die. Nobody plans on losing a job suddenly. Things happen and we have to understand that that's part of God's will for us. And we say, God, okay, I get it, that it's part of the plan and it's part of the purpose that you have for me and that you're going to make something good come out of it. But God, you realize the problems this is going to cause me? Do you realize that this is going to be an issue for me? God says, I know, I'll be with you and I'm going to guide you. And that's what he tells Mary there. And Mary hears all of this stuff. And then in verse 38, she says, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. And the angel left. So Mary says, okay, I will take it. I understand this is a good thing in the long run. But I think I'm going to come up with a few things that maybe Mary thought about in the privacy of her own heart. So today we're going to look at what Mary faced by accepting God's will. The first thing is that it was the probable end of her engagement to Joseph. Now you can say, hey, great, I'm pregnant, and in our day that may not make a big deal. But in those days, the fact that Mary was now pregnant and Joseph knows he's not the father, that immediately creates a problem. And we know that from the book of Matthew, that's exactly what happened. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, it says, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. So in what happens is Joseph says, yeah, Mary, I get it. The Holy Spirit came on you and God did this, and okay, we'll go with that story, but you need to understand that it's just not working for me very good. Now we know that Joseph changes his mind. Well, actually, God changes Joseph's mind because he shows him the thing. But the first thing is that Mary has to know that this announcement is good news, but the problem is she's engaged, and that is going to be probably, for all intents and purposes, she can't assume that Joseph is just going to accept this. She realizes that Joseph may very well never want anything to do with her again. But she says, I'm your servant. Whatever happens will happen. We go back to Luke in verse 39 of chapter 1. It says, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. Now, I'm assuming you know the story. Zechariah and Elizabeth are relatives of Mary's, and they are going to have a son in their older age, probably not 95, but older parents who hadn't been able to have children, now all of a sudden they're going to have a son. And so Elizabeth is in the same situation that Mary is. It's a wondrous, great news that she's going to have a baby, but it raises all kinds of questions and it creates problems. I mean, if you've been married for 20 years thinking you're never going to have children and then suddenly you do, it changes everything, right? Right? Okay, I'm just making sure you're on the going tracking with me here. But Mary goes to Elizabeth. Now, I believe personally that this is Joseph and Mary's idea about how to put Mary away quietly. Mary and Joseph have the discussion, and Mary says, well, I'm going to leave town. I'm going to go visit Elizabeth, and we'll deal with this stuff later when it comes out. You know, that way nobody will know what's going on because we can kind of hide it and go through the divorce quietly and all that. So she goes to visit Elizabeth up in the hill country of Judea. That's the response that they have. Then, going forward, Elizabeth, when she sees Mary, says, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. One thing that I think we should read this as is, it says as soon as Elizabeth saw Mary. There is no reason to believe that Elizabeth even knew that Mary was pregnant. As soon as she walks in, the baby inside her, which it will become John the Baptist, leaps for joy. That causes, and the Holy Spirit reveals to Elizabeth something that's going on in Mary's life, and Elizabeth encourages her, praises her. And that's got to be something good for Mary, don't you think? Mary says, or God is saying to Mary, I know you're facing a problem here with Joseph and your engagement, so you came to the right place, because I'm going to use Elizabeth to encourage you in a difficult time in your relationship with Joseph. Just like we heard not 10 minutes ago in the prayer request. Did you guys hear that? Had people saying, hey, praise God for my family and friends and church family that does good things for me. Here's a difficult situation I'm in, and God brings somebody in to give me encouragement and to give me help. So that's lesson number one. You're going through a difficult time. God's got some things going on in your life that you don't have any control over. God will provide someone to lift your spirits. Watch for them. They'll be there. Sometimes we get into problems because the person who will be lifting our spirit is maybe somebody that we need to forgive or to develop a better relationship with, and so we miss the encouragement because we're fighting about something else. That's just a thought. But we need to be able to, in difficult times, to realize that God will bring good things to you. God will remind you of his love through what other people are doing. Doesn't mean that the relationship that you had is immediately fixed or that everybody understands, but somebody will. There will be somebody there to lift your spirits. Even in the midst of difficulties, even in the midst of trials, we can still have joy. Mary does. She's got problems, but she has joy because somebody lifted her spirits. Somebody decided to give her the encouragement that she needed to keep going. Secondly, what Mary faced by accepting God's will was, first, the probable end of her engagement to Joseph, and second, her dreams for her life will have to change. She's pregnant now. Whatever she thought her life was going to be like, whatever she thought was going to happen going forward, maybe she thought she was going to live a long life and be married and no problems, and her and Joseph would just raise a big family. Well, now her dreams are all going to change. They're going to be different. The least of which is she's going to be raising God's son. That's got to be some pressure, right? God says, here, be the mom to my son. And I'm going to be watching. See what happens. No pressure there. In Luke chapter 2, we're jumping ahead a little bit, but I want to just show maybe a little bit of what Mary was thinking from what some other people said. But in Luke chapter 2, verse 34, is the scene where they bring Jesus to the temple and they're dedicating him to God. And he meets a couple of people, one named Simeon and one named Anna. And Simeon, who is there at the temple, says this. Then Simon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother. That's just an odd way. He blessed them. Remember, he's blessing them as we read these words. This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Yeah, This is good news. I'm blessed by that, I think. But we can see there, just in that little statement, this idea that Mary's life, whatever she thought it was going to be, is not going to be that. Whatever her dreams were, they weren't going to be, that wasn't going to be fulfilled. I mean, if you think back to what the angel said, hey, that son is going to be the king of everything. And your soul's going to get pierced. Even in the midst of joy, sometimes the difficult times come, the trials come. And God says, I get it. I know it. God doesn't pull punches. He doesn't try to tell you that if you have faith in Jesus Christ that everything's going to be good. But some things will be good. You will have joy. You'll have some tough times, but you'll have joy. Focus on the joy. Right before this, I'm kind of raining on our parade. You know, Christmas is supposed to be a happy time, and here I'm sharing all these trials, but that's the way Christmas is for a lot of us. We remember people who have passed away. This will be the first Christmas that my brother's not around. This will be the first Christmas that some of you have lost loved ones. This will be the first Christmas that some of you will have faced illnesses or lost others. I mean, there's just things going on. And sometimes we get so down about all those things that we forget that there's things to be joyful about. So yes, Mary, your soul will be pierced. Yes, there will be problems. Jesus is going to cause some frictions and problems. But Simeon also says right before these verses, in verse 28, Simeon took Jesus in his arms and praised God, saying, I always kind of miss that part, that Simeon actually took the baby and he's holding this baby. And he says, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Good news. This baby's going to do some great things. Yeah, your dreams in your life, Mary, are not going to be lined up with what you thought was going to happen. But that doesn't mean there won't be good things happening. There will be good things happening. In fact, God says, my plans for you might just possibly be better than whatever dreams you had. That could be. So lesson number two is God's purpose is always bigger than any dreams we may have. God's working in your life. Sometimes it feels like we're going backwards. Sometimes we feel like we've got losses and no gains. But understand that God is still working. God is still moving you forward. God still has a goal for your life. He still is working you towards where he wants you to be. And a lot of times our problem is that we just don't listen to the right voices. This seems to be something that that happens in, I'm sorry, I'm going to try to, I'm going to kind of get political again. I do this, and I'm sorry, I apologize, and people get upset, but it's not in a specific way, just more in a general way. Is that we're listening to the wrong people. There's this feeling out there that whenever somebody does something, we're supposed to give power, I guess, to these few voices that are critical. There's always these few voices off on the side who point out something wrong with the most recent movie, or they don't like somebody said something the way they said it, and everybody else is like, well, yeah, but they were just trying to be encouraging. Why you got to tear them down all the time and stuff? But the thing is that we give these few voices power over us, and we start listening to them. And it kind of goes back to the first one. So there are people out there who are ready to encourage you. You should be listening to them, not to the ones who are being down on you or down on the situation. When we listen to the people that are that talk on the news and everything, and just stop it. Just I don't watch the news hardly ever anymore because it's just people arguing all the time, and nothing ever gets done, and it's just people yelling at each other, and let's just go on with our lives, and we'll just live here in Port Orford and do the things we do and just forget all those other people. Amen. Whatever. Amen. Okay, good. Okay, I'm off my soapbox now, and if nominated, I will not run. So, two things. Mary's engagement to Joseph may be off. Her relationships may be broken because she's accepting God's will. There will be, her dreams for her life will have to change. The third thing is, friends and family may not understand her choices. She accepted God's will for her life, and she chose to live with it and make the best of it and trust God to do what God's going to do. And you're going to have people in your life that aren't really going to understand that. That's really the call of being a Christian in our day and age. There are things about being a Christian that other people just aren't going to understand. They're just not. They're going to criticize you, or they may ignore you, or they may just argue with you, whatever. The thing about Mary is that she just said, I'm going to do this, and she went ahead and did it, accepted it. Sometimes that happens to us. I didn't want to get the flu last week, but I did, and I just deal with it. It's not the end of the world, and I'm not trying to say that it's equivalent to what some of you are going through. I'm just saying that sometimes things happen to us. They're out of our control. They just happen. And I just deal with it. And then you move forward. But I still make choices, even though this happened, that honor God, still make choices that show that I have faith in God, still make choices that I want to be what God wants me to be, and I still do those things, even though other people might say, well, if God does things like that to you, why are you following this? Why are you doing these things? Why are you praising God? In Luke chapter 9, I'm kind of jumping ahead in the story, but it's a picture of Jesus, and he's talking to some people who want to follow him. And he said, and he describes this conversation that he has with various people. It says, as they, and that's his disciples, were walking along a road, a man said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus replied, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Jesus isn't very nice to the people who seem to want to follow him. It's almost critical what he says to them. But the whole concern that Jesus has is that when we choose to follow Jesus, all those other things have to take lesser importance. We have to realize that other people, and when other people read this, they're not going to get it. And that's what Jesus is dealing with as he's talking to these people. Following me, God says, following me, Jesus says, is not like following other people. It's not like doing other things. It's different. There will be some trials. There will be some tough times. But rejoice. There will be some good times. You will be part of the plan of God to not only you, but to everybody around you. Mary, you are going to bring the salvation of the world into the world. And that is going to bless many, many people. That's one of the hard things to do about life sometimes, is realize that the stuff I'm going through may not be about me at all. It's about other people. Pat suggested that earlier. using the opportunity of a cancer situation to be a witness to other people. Maybe what you're going through is so that somebody else will see how you respond to it and be drawn to God and get saved themselves because what you did in that situation. And God says, see, it wasn't about you at all. It was about them. I'd much rather it be about me. Wouldn't that be better if just everything was about me? Well, okay, some things can be about you, but most things should be about me. Everything is about God and what he's doing in all of our lives for you and for me. Lesson number three is, those without faith will never understand your joy in doing God's will. Then you have to accept that. Other people won't get it. How can you be joyful in the midst of mourning? How can you be celebrating the birth of Christ in the midst of all the troubles in the world? How can you talk about faith in Jesus when it requires you to face trials or suffering or create difficulties for you? How can you do those things in the midst of the problems? And the answer partly is because the overall picture is joy, not trouble. It's joy that we have to focus on and concentrate on. So going back to Luke chapter 2, I'm done with the introduction to my sermon now. I'm ready to move on into the main body of it. Because the focus, summing up the next few verses in Luke's story about Mary and Elizabeth is what's called the Magnificat. And it's Mary's praise psalm to God in response to what Elizabeth said. Remember what Elizabeth said about she gets encouragement from Elizabeth, and then Mary turns around and praises God in this way. And it's a famous section of scripture, and it's read in a lot of different places, and just reminding us that this is where it comes from. Mary is not just in a place where everything is, roses and sunshine and happiness, and she's facing with a situation where there's joy, there's also recognition and acceptance of some problems that are going to arise, but there's also this joy that comes out of her heart. And we can be this joyful even in the midst of difficulties in our life and in the midst of trials in our life. So in verse 46 of Luke chapter 1, it says, "And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." And Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. This praise song comes out of this situation. And sometimes when we read this, we think, Mary just accepted that everything was going to be great and everything was going to be perfect. No, I think that Mary recognized exactly what was going to happen to her. And she was dealing with a lot of questions and a lot of doubts and a lot of things going on. But she listened to the voices that said, this is a good thing. She listened to those who said, something good's going to come out of this. She listened for those who were hurting in their own way and needed encouragement because of the way that we face whatever trials and tribulations and sufferings come our way. People are looking at us to be the light of the world, being the light of the world means we do that in the midst of the trials that we face. And when we do that, we shine. You can have a dark room, and all you have to do is light a little candle, and all of a sudden, it shows up great. Shows up big. Makes you stand out. So in a world of darkness, we want people to see a great light in our lives. And as said earlier, the idea that God is working in your life, and you know what? God is going to do it. We just need to trust him. Be ready to rejoice this Christmas. And if you want to start, come at 3 o'clock today to the OO and just rejoice together about what God has done in our lives this year. Let's pray. Our Father, I thank you for the gift of your Son. I thank you that your love and your mercy and your grace are what prompted you to send Jesus into this world. God, we are thankful for that. We are thankful for Mary's obedience. And God, we pray for the same faith and strength in our own lives to accept what you bring our way and be ready to praise you and give you glory regardless. So thank you, God, for what you've done. Thank you for what you are doing. And thank you, God, for every voice that raises praise to you in our lives. God, we pray this in Jesus' name.